Good morning. Our text this morning is Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Mark 6, verse 7. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Let us pray. Righteous Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with our time together this morning to study from your word. We pray, Father, that you help us to accomplish the mission that you have for us in this life. We pray, Father, that we represent you well in the world. We pray, Father, that we will be faithful in proclaiming your kingdom and in proclaiming repentance to those around us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So the mission that we just read in today's text shows us what we might call a prototype of the church. That Christ calls his apostles to go out and to proclaim the kingdom, much in the same way that he himself has. So this is a story about the growth of the kingdom, the spread of the kingdom. And if you've been here for our Sunday evening series about the nature of the kingdom, this should tie in with what we've studied there. Because this mission, this proclamation, this foreshadowing of the church is patterned after Christ and rests on his authority. And so there are things that we, the kingdom of God on earth, can learn about the pattern of this first mission. The first thing that we learn is that our mission is a fulfillment of the types and shadows that we learned about in the history of Israel. I'm really glad that Solomon went the direction that he did with his Lord's Supper talk this morning. That was completely unplanned, at least by us. We'll chalk it up to providence. But today's text in Mark contains some soft, but I think unmistakable echoes of the Exodus. When God calls his people out of the world to establish a kingdom for himself. And we remember always, of course, that the number of the apostles matches the number of the tribes of Israel, right? We've never thought that that was coincidental. And these apostles, the 12, are sent out seemingly ill-prepared, without enough provisions for the journey. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, not even enough clothing on their backs. Which, again, we should hear some echoes here of the Exodus. And yet they would be provided for, just as God's people were in the Exodus. When Jesus tells the apostles, if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. Here again, we hear another faint echo of the Exodus. Remember what Moses taught Israel. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. And we have similar messages here. As the 12 are going out traveling, proclaiming the kingdom, expanding the kingdom, if anyone acts like Moab or Ammon to them, then they are treated like Moab or Ammon. All right? God, if we hadn't picked up on this already from Bible study, God recycles. God loves recycling. And that makes things easier for us, I think, when we can read something that is directed at us and notice that there's some rich history behind this. There's some parallels. These are things that we have heard before that we can consult back to and help fill in the picture of how we're to understand things, how we are to operate. It makes things easier for us, and it's good that God does this for us, because in some ways, we're a little like Winnie the Pooh, aren't we? We have bears of very little brain. Thankfully, God has made us part of something much bigger, and we can always refer back to these other manifestations of God's pattern. In short, what I'm saying here is the same thing that Solomon was saying in his Lord's Supper talk, that there's continuity between what God has done in the past and what he does in the Gospels and what he does today. That he operates according to these types and shadows as a means of teaching us. And today's text reminds us of that. That, you know, we're not just free-floating things out in the universe with nothing, you know, to root ourselves to, nothing to anchor ourselves to, nothing to refer back to. We actually have a lot to refer back to. Some of Jesus' specific instructions to the apostles also show us that the kingdom does not rely on material things. And here, as in the Exodus, the Lord is trying to steer his people away from materialism. Right? Material needs will be provided for. Israel received bread from heaven. Their clothes didn't wear out. Right? The apostles will have their needs met. They'll be received as guests in strangers' houses. But these material needs, these are not the primary concern, the primary purpose of the kingdom. It is, as Paul elsewhere says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Our text reminds us of that when it shows the apostles going out with no bread, no money, no second tunic. Because their mission as agents of the Lord, apostles of the Lord who are expanding the kingdom, their mission is to heal, to cast out demons, and to proclaim repentance. Today's text also shows us that the kingdom is structured as a community. The Lord is not just steering his people away from materialism, but also from individualism. The apostles, for example, go out two by two. They didn't go out by themselves. And this is not some bootstraps ministry where the apostles go out and they show off just how self-sufficient they are. They go out destitute, depending on the kindness of strangers. And they, in return, are themselves kind to the people that they meet. They heal the sick, they cast out demons, they proclaim repentance. The total picture of this early mission for the kingdom is one of interdependence. The kingdom has a unifying power to it. We talk a lot about how God organized us as churches, not as a bunch of individuals or separate households, separate families under the Lord. He organized us as churches. I'm sure you've experienced this unifying power that the church has. If you've gone traveling or if you've had to move from one place to another, it takes people who would, because consider us, right? There's a lot of different folks in a lot of different stages of life from a lot of different backgrounds. The church takes people who would otherwise remain strangers, and it brings them together under Christ. And it has them taking care of each other. And again, just think of how many people you know personally because of that unifying power of the kingdom, the way that the kingdom brings strangers together and makes them brothers and sisters. But what I want to emphasize most from today's text, as we see this story laying out some patterns for how the church is going to operate later on, what I want us to emphasize most, what we can see most clearly from today's text, is that life in the kingdom rests entirely on Christ's authority. Christ called the 12. Christ sent them out. In fact, that's what the word apostle means, one who is sent. If you were reading this in the Greek, it would look like Christ apostled them. Christ gave them their authority. And Christ charged them to take nothing with them. That's not just something they made up. That's something that came from Him. Christ gave them the instructions. Christ set the terms for this mission. And just as we have read about Christ going about proclaiming repentance, healing the sick, casting out demons, so do we find the apostles doing. Now, the church's mission today, again, we say that this kind of text is prototypical. Right? The church hasn't been founded yet. And the church's mission today is not identical to this first mission of the apostles in Mark 6. But the basic reliance on the authority of Christ is the same. That whenever we find the church established in Acts chapter 2, it's founded on the authority of Christ. It's based on the resurrection of Christ. And anyone who wishes to receive the blessings of God must heed the good news of the kingdom and submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Right, there's only one example of direct speech recorded in today's text. And it gives today's text kind of a hard edge. It's an exclusionary saying. And whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. If any place will not receive you and will not listen to you, that is, they have rejected this message of the kingdom, this proclamation of repentance. If they don't listen to that, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. And this also remains true, that the message of the kingdom, the message of the gospel, is exclusive. It's good news. Right? It's the kind of news that there's no good reason to reject. But part of that message is if you reject it, then there's nothing for you. And so we urge everyone to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, to listen to the word of the gospel, to submit to the authority of Christ, and to join into this kingdom that is being proclaimed and is here. We invite everyone to become part of this community that God has established. We invite everyone to partake in the blessings of the kingdom and to be tied into the grand salvation story of God that He has been working through the ages. We invite you to obey the gospel, believe the good news, turn away from sin, confess Jesus as Lord, be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of your sins, and then live faithfully, obeying the word of the Lord as we have sworn. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?